today on Real Radio.
When we sin, we don't think it's so bad. And then when we wake up to what we've done, it's so bad, we think God would never forgive us, right? Don't flatter yourself. You can't sin so big that Jesus cannot forgive you. His blood is more powerful than your ability to sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Argument of God, Part 2, continues in his new series, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sin and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In part one of The Argument of God, we saw how the beginning of Isaiah's ministry challenges the people to look at what's happened to their lives. And when King Uzziah died, God gave Isaiah a vision to tell the people to listen, to turn from their rebellion, and to worship God alone. God's goodness to us in life should cause us to repent and return to Him. Now in part two, we'll see how God doesn't demand of us to love Him, but desires honesty and truth. So through Isaiah, God gives Israel and Judah the remedy for sin and the recipe for revival. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah warns Israel and Judah to wash and clean themselves and stop doing evil. And if they're willing to learn to do good and seek justice, they will prosper. But if they won't listen, disaster will fall on them and they'll be killed by the sword of their enemies. And now, continuing his lesson called The Argument of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says to them, the sinner, he says to them, the guilty party, he says to us tonight, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is the God of the Bible. He said, repent, and I want to forgive you, and I want you to get back on track with me. And I love this word. He says, come, let us reason. It's the Hebrew word, come, let us argue, debate, decide. It's beautiful. God, listen, for all of these 17 verses, he's indicting them of their wrong. And then instead of destroying them, he says to them, now, you state your case. The word means as in a court of law. Give your best argument, Judah. Give your best argument, Israel. And I'll give mine. And theirs would have been possibly A, we repent, we've been so terrible, God forgive us, but we've been so mean to you, I'm sure you'll never forgive us. How could you forgive us? That could have been the plea they enter. And God comes to them and says, I'll wash you, you're red, you are sin red through and through, and I'll take it all away like wool, like snow. No trace. Gone. Or they could have said, well, you know, like Adam, it's the woman you gave me. Well, you know, God, it's this situation, it's that situation. And they could have stood there and justified their position. And you know what his answer is still? His answer is, I argue back to you this way. I want to forgive you. Is this amazing God you have? I challenge you, go, travel the world, find another God to take his place. Good luck. Luck's all you got. Because you'll never find a God like this. Have you sinned so bad? And it's a weird thing because when we sin, we don't think it's so bad. And then when we wake up to what we've done, it's so bad. We think God would never forgive us, right? Listen, don't flatter yourself. You think you've sinned so big, oh, I've sinned so big, I've sinned so bad, God could never forgive me. Okay, look, I get it. Paul the Apostle said that he himself was chief of all sinners. I get that. When you wake up to your sin and I wake up to my sin, right? I'm the chief of sinners. And you say, no, 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 no. You say of yourself what? That you're the chief of sinners, don't you? And that's the beautiful moment. That's when repentance and revival takes place, because you own your own sin. You don't point at anybody else. You're sinful enough. Are you with me? And at that moment, you will either, listen, grab onto the promises of God, or you'll be swept up with condemnation. But don't flatter yourself. You can't sin so big that Jesus cannot forgive you. His blood is more powerful than your ability to sin. Okay, remember that. He doesn't look at your sin and say, oh man, I don't know if the sacrifice on the cross was enough for that one. No, but will you come to him? He's arguing with you tonight. He's saying, come. Come. You state your case, I'll state mine. I bet you I win, God says. Love wins. The power of God. And so, he says in verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Wow. You think of the history of Israel and the Holocaust of Israel. Isn't that true? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city, speaking of Jerusalem, has become a harlot. Isn't that sad? He could say that about Washington, D.C. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. Your silver has become dross. Your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Corruption in the highest levels of government and in the system of justice. Corruption. Sound familiar? Isn't that tragic? Verse 24, therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Listen, when you hear him say the Lord of hosts and the mighty one of Israel, that's God rolling up his sleeves to get ready to punch a rebellious nation. He's saying, that's it. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of the armies of heaven. Oh my goodness. The mighty one of Israel. This word, ah, you see in the English, ah, I will rid myself. That's a term of lamentation. He's not delighting in this. He's sick to his stomach. I will rid myself of my adversaries. He doesn't take pleasure in that. And take vengeance on my enemies. Verse 25, I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross. So he's going to defend Israel, the remnant, from the enemies. But even within the nation, those who disobeyed God were the enemies of God. And he says regarding the division between, listen, church, and I believe this is happening in America today. He says, I'm going to purge away the dross. I believe right now in the United States of America, with all that's going on, God is using, by the way, cultural issues. He's using theological issues. I believe that, and I say this loosely, the church in America, I believe we're at a great, great crossroad. I'm not sad about it. You are going to see the church in America be completely divided. And don't cry one tear over that. It must happen. It is a good thing. God is saying in his nation at that time of Isaiah, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to send forth action. And it's going to divide those who are, for example, in Israel, but not of Israel. And there's going to be a split. And I believe that God is drawing out from the church in America his bride, the real believer. And I think you're going to see a great, great bifurcation, a split, where there'll be those who are God's people who are hungry for the word of God and for the instruction of God, and they're going to flock to where the word of God is given. And there'll be those who just want to hear happy, warm feelings to tickle and itch our ears, and they're going to go to whatever they go to. And I think that's a good thing. Because if that doesn't happen, those people will be right sitting with you. A mixed multitude. I think it's happened. I think it's going on now. It's amazing. But God speaks to them about unjust rulers. They've lost. He says in verse 26, I will restore your judges. Do we need judges in America? I want to show you guys real quick four things that have happened about judges. You guys want to put the first slide up? And this is interesting. I want you to watch this. Okay, judge overturns Alaska's same-sex marriage ban that dates to 1998. Did the people vote to have same-sex marriage in Alaska? No, they didn't. The people in Alaska voted against it, overwhelmingly. So in this tyrannical nation of ours now, where judges, which, by the way, read the Constitution of the states and of the United States, you can impeach judges. You know that? Read the Constitution. A judge said, no, we, even though the overwhelming vote of the people, we don't believe in we the people anymore. So one judge overturns the vote. Next slide. U.S. judge strikes down Colorado gay marriage ban. Did Colorado vote for traditional, biblical, natural marriage? Yes. The judge didn't like it. So the judge, one judge, overturns the voters. No longer we the people. Interesting, huh? Next slide. You see a trend, by the way? Federal judge overturns California's same-sex marriage ban. By the way, he was a homosexual, the judge. Vaughn Walker. And by the way, as soon as he did this, he retired. But 3 weeks later, he retired. And something like 63% of Californians had voted, we believe in traditional natural marriage. And he said, no, we the people, me the people. And he overturned the will of the people. I think we have one more. No, maybe not. Yes. Oh, yeah. Judge strikes down North Carolina gay marriage ban. Did you notice that? Did you notice the trend? And God says, listen, I'll restore your nation. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to give you good judges. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1 says, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they themselves have prescribed. That's Isaiah 10, 1. Amazing. Remarkable. Verse 27, listen to what he says. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the timber of the trees. This is the places of worship that they had carved out, which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. How do I put this nicely? They had trees that they would carve into certain nasty images, and they would plant gardens where they could frolic about with no clothes on, and they would also plant in those gardens mandrakes. You know what mandrakes are? They would plant aphrodisiacs. You know what those are? So people would come to worship. Let's go worship. And they would say, this is Israel. They would say, let's go worship the Lord. So they get in their donkey and they're driving there. And they park and they get out. And they're doing this worship, but they brought in these other icons, these gods, these little things. And one thing leads to another, and they're doing this worship, and it was very, very sex-centered worship that led them to the trees. And the trees were carved into certain things. And when they were there with the influences of the garden and all the stuff that's going on, they would go through their worship. And God says, that's far enough. Isn't that amazing? But I think that happens all the time. I think we've maybe in our culture, we've just perfected it, you know. But God says he's going to redeem. He's going to repair that. He goes on, and I don't even know if I should. No, we probably can't, huh? There's no way. We're right at the brink of chapter 2, huh? Let me look at this. Look at verse 30. For you shall be as the timothy tree which leaf fades and as the garden that has no water. It's all going to, false worship's going to shrivel up. The strong shall be as tinder and the work of it as a spark. Both will be burned together and no one shall quench them. And this, I want to end with this challenge about when a culture departs from God. He says there's no voice for the orphans. There's no voice to defend the widow. Listen, there's no, the poor are not defended. Listen, ooh. The system in America regarding children. Do you know we could fix the adoption issue, the unwanted kids? We could fix it in a moment if government would just relax. Imagine if it just relaxed its grip, and the church stepped up and said, "We'll take care of, we'll get this adoption thing going on. We'll get this taken care of." Imagine that. I think the church could do an amazing job. I think Christians would be the first one to start adopting kids as a mission ministry. These kids have no parents. Think of it. Say, well, we have kids. Well, one more. I believe that. I believe, by the way, if the government got out of the welfare business, the church should step up and take that place. Yes. Taxpayers should not have to pay for the homeless issue. That's what a church is for. And if the poor cannot be defended, pastors and Christians should speak up for the voiceless. But in our culture, you know, it's supposed to be you are innocent until proven guilty. And now you're innocent if you have enough money. You see, listen, 3,000 years ago, this is penned, and it's like right now. You want to know why, of course, is because the human heart never changes unless it gets redeemed by God. So I'll leave you with this bombshell. I wrote it down. I like it. You may not. He says, I'm going to redeem them with justice. What is justice? Do we all believe in justice? You know, the Bible says, and you've read your Bible, the Bible says that God is just. God is for justice. But are we for justice? And I say that loosely, are we for justice? When you talk about justice, you can't have justice without discipline. You can't have justice without the law. You can't have justice without authority. And I've concluded, when you talk with people, if you come to the worldview of an atheist, at least the ones I've talked to, they don't believe in justice. You say, I can't believe you just said that. That's highly offensive. No, wait. If a bad man breaks into a home and murders someone's child, and that mom and that dad, they're at the graveside of that baby. They've lost their baby. And what do you say to them? What do you say to them? How do you comfort them? If that murderer is caught now and he goes to court and the system lets him out, he gets set free in a loophole. Is that justice? He goes free because the system, maybe he wasn't given his Miranda rights or whatever it is, but he goes free. Who's been ripped off? Technically, mom and dad. Baby's in heaven with Jesus. The mom and dad have got to live the rest of their lives. Where's the justice? Where's justice in that? This happens every day. Where's justice? The only person that can offer them justice in a corrupt culture is the Christian. See, what do you mean? Well, the Christian can say and would say, listen, friend, this world is messed up. I understand that. But understand this. That man will stand before God in the end. And you will get your child back in the end. But an atheist who doesn't believe in God, that's bad luck. That's a bummer. What are you going to say to them? Where's the justice? You see, people get upset about the God of the Bible. He's vengeful. He's angry. He's upset. No, listen, listen. He is a God. He's just. He's holy. And there's going to be a day of reckoning, my friend. That's justice. No one's going to get away with anything. ISIS will get away with nothing. Listen, child molesters will get away with nothing. Murderers will get away with nothing. The maniacs in Canada this week, terrorists, they'll get away with nothing. Do you know this God of the Bible? He is loving, he is kind, and he's reaching out and he's saying, come, let's argue together your case because I want to forgive you. But there will be a time when the offer, time will expire. The sand will have run out of the glass. And you will have made your decision. Even against his desire and his will, you would have rejected him. He wanted you to come, but you pushed him off. And then time runs out. And there's a Christless eternity. And you can't blame anybody. Imagine, in the end, no one will blame God. They will blame themselves. Why didn't I listen? You can hear the bells chiming, right? What does that mean? It means we're out of time. Listen, you may or may not be out of time right now. God says to you tonight, come, let's reason together. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's do business before the throne of Almighty God. Maybe tonight, the love of God tonight has convicted you of something going on in your life. And it stung. And it's stinging still. Why? Because God is saying to you, I want you to be free from this. I want you to be liberated from this anchor, this weight upon your soul, and this scourge upon your spirit. I want to set you free. That's why Jesus came, you know, to set you free. At his cross, he died for Jack's sins and for your sins. To set you free. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight, and he's saying, I convicted you tonight about this sexual immorality, or you're lying, or you're cheating, or your lack of, no faith in me. You've rejected me, and I've been busting you tonight. Why? Because I love you, and I want you to come to me. And God says tonight, come, state your case. I want to take your sin, though they be as red as crimson. I want to make it as white as snow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Argument of God, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. We have a God who keeps his promises and rescues us when we fall. The Argument of God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you want to get hold of a pastor maybe to talk through it and find out, you know, what to do next, we'd love to hear from you. Just head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.